You ready? You ready? My God, how many need a hug? Happy, you look like you need a hug. Come on, somebody. Amen. I'll give you one after. Let's pray. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for bringing us together. I ask that you would be with us as we go through this class. There was so much insight throughout the lesson and the reading. I pray that you would deepen our understanding when it comes to having faith in people and learning to listen to people. Father, I love you for what you're doing within our church. I pray that you would help us to identify and tap into the leader and the potential that's within us. Have your way tonight. We thank you. We bless you. Be with me as I teach this class. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I am actually very excited. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And how many did their reading? Hold your hands high. Hold your hands high. Okay. How many didn't do their reading? Hold your hands high. Hold your hands high. Okay. Wow. So, amen. We'll be sensitive to your schedules. I know that we're going to chalk this week up as that we took 2 days away from you to read. However, I want to challenge you that leaders are readers. And you definitely got to make the time. You got to create discipline in your life. That's part of why we're teaching this. And then I really do think that, you know, you just put a priority on it. And then I was taught coming up in the Lord, if I don't have time, I got to take it. So if that means I got to do away with whether it is an activity, stay up a little later, get up early, we got to do what we have to do. But I am going to encourage you to finish reading by Sunday. And then also we'll put into practice what we were able to learn. So I guess the way I would like to start is who read. So the first thing we're going to talk about is having faith in people. So people of influence, and you can go ahead and fill in your first blank, have faith in people. Who read something in chapter 3 that really stuck out to them? Quickly. Anybody? So give me one or two. That they can do. Amen. Anybody else? Anything stick out to you? The tightrope guy was in there. Yeah, we spoke on that before. Yeah, the guy believed in him, right? So having faith in people is one of the, skills that we have to develop. Having faith in people is essential to leading them, to believing in them. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you look there on your worksheets, it says faith in people. So an influencer has faith in people. The next fill in blank is assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, make things possible, and I'll describe what that means. And the third one is people make things happen. And it says faith in people, assets make things possible, people make things happen. And when you look at what it means An asset is a benefit, advantage, blessing, good point, strong point, or selling point. So the good that are in people make things possible, but it's the people that ultimately make things happen. And you and I, as leaders, we have to be people that see the good in all that we work with. We got to see them as assets. We got to see that with them, we can do greater things for God. If we look at people as just people who can help us, we're not going to go very far. But when we can look inside them and see the good in them, we can position them to be successful. You guys often hear me talk about how when I look at people, one of the first questions I ask is, what could they do for God? Because it causes me to cut through any prejudgment I may have, and it causes me to look at that person through God's eyes or God's perspective. But understanding that people's gifts will make things possible, but ultimately it's people that make things happen. In other words, you and I, as leaders, we gotta value people. People cannot be something that we just use to help us finish our ministry or help us get a task done. If that's the type of leader that we are, people will eventually find out our motives and not want to follow us. But you see the good in somebody. You point the good in who you know that they can be, and they'll want to follow you because of how good you made them feel. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, every person is entitled to be valued by their best moments. A good leader is able to encourage somebody when they see the good in them, okay? Moving along in your worksheets, it says, in leading others, there are three feelings that we cannot possess, okay? There are three feelings that we as leaders cannot possess. Are you ready? Number one, fear. If we are afraid of people, we cannot confront them. That's good stuff. If we are afraid of people, we cannot confront them. We need to be tough but tender leaders, right? Number two, the second feeling you cannot have, dislike. If we dislike people, we should not lead them. If you don't like people, you cannot lead people. If people irritate us, before we can lead, we got to work some things out internally. I was teaching the other day with the home, and we were talking about patience, and the actual definition of patience is the willingness to suppress restlessness and irritation. And sometimes when we're working with people, you and I have to have the ability and willingness to suppress restlessness and irritation. What I mean by that is the type of people that we're called to work with can sometimes be EGR. What's EGR?
Extra grace required.
Extra grace required. So as a leader, we got to have the patience, and we can't show that we're frustrated by them. We can't show that we're irritated by them. We have to develop patience to work with them. Had someone had not patience, been patient with us, we might not be where we are today. But I simply say that because we cannot dislike people. If we dislike people, we should not lead them. Number three, the third feeling that we cannot possess as a leader, contempt. If we look down on people, we will not value them. We will not value them. Les Gibson, an authority of human relations, says this: you can't make the other fellow feel important in your presence if you secretly feel that he is a nobody when he's not around. In other words, we can't fake what we feel towards people. And this is why we got to ask ourselves, God, what can they do for you? Because it causes us to see them through the eyes of God. In your handouts, it says, it's wonderful when the people believe in their leader. It is wonderful when people believe in their leader. It is more wonderful when the leader believes in the people. That some heavy stuff. And I like this because this is what it reads in the book. As you work to become a person of influence, always remember that your goal is not to get people to think more highly of you. It's to get them to think more highly of themselves, having faith in them, and they will begin to do exactly that. And this is where we got to understand leadership. It's about elevating people. It's about seeing the good in them, pulling it out, or envisioning them, right? This is where the envisioning part of our ministry comes into play, right? The Bible talks about how people perish for the lack of knowledge. Some translations say lack of vision, right? You and I, we're called to envision people on what's possible. That's good stuff. See, because when you do that, you know, I became a preacher because someone said, you know what, man, I could see you preaching the gospel, right? It's funny because even if you read the story, one of the men in the story said that, he's a great evangelist today, and he'll never forget when he was 4 years old, his uncle, who was a pastor, pulled up in a car, and he said he ran out of the house barefooted, and then when the young man ran up to the uncle looked at him and said, you must be, and I forgot the guy's name, you must be Joey. Yes, I am. And then he looked at him and said, you know what? You look like you're called to be a preacher. And he said at 4 years old, he went to bed that night, and the prayer that he prayed was, God, make me a preacher. And then he is one of the greatest evangelists of our time. And that was all because someone envisioned them. So you and I have to remember that. It's not about people. And this is why you shouldn't worry about impressing people. Right? This is why you don't gotta use big words. We don't gotta show people our spiritual resume, right? I'm always weary of people that immediately want to tell me their spiritual resume. Oh, I've done this. I've done that, right? You and I, we don't have to speak on our accomplishments, right? If the anointing of God is on us and we are secure leaders, we can walk in our own shoes and not worry about the next guy, right? And you're going to get people like that are going to want to challenge you, but that's neither here nor there. And it should not matter, because if we're doing what God has called us to do, we're right in the eyes of the Lord. So you and I, we don't have to try to impress people, right? I'm not the greatest communicator. I'm not the greatest, there's some guys that can preach circles around me. But what I am a leader. I am a person that believes in people. That's the quality within me that I know helps me out in leading. And I stick to that because I know who God's called me to be. You find what God's called you to do, and you stick to what you're good at. And when you do that, listen, people will identify and be better because you have walked in what God has called you to. Have faith in people, and in turn, they will have faith in you as their leader. People will identify the man who believed in them and gave them a chance. And that's not why we do it. So this is why we have to have good motives. Because if you're doing truly what God's called you to do, that really doesn't matter. But in turn, you have to understand in the whole process, if you're a servant leader, you're going to develop a servant leader. But if you model that everything's about position, the people that you work with eventually are going to get the wrong idea. And because you're their influencer, are going to chase position. So we got to make sure that our heart is right. We're doing things in the right manner. Amen? There in your worksheet under note, it says number one, borrowed beliefs have no power. Number two, we become outside what we believe inside. That's pretty self-explanatory. Number three, lack of belief in people hurts both the leader and the people. The greatest gift a leader can give another person is to express belief in the person when the person doesn't believe in himself. Now, I want to give you a few facts about faith that are found in your book. So this is not in your notes. You'll probably want to go ahead and write them down. But I thought they were worth talking about. Are you getting some? And I thought this was heavy because these are facts about faith in people. Number one, most people don't have faith in themselves. Most people, they actually see the difficulty in every possibility rather than the reality, right? The reality is that it's really not that hard. And most of us, when we've realized when we've come to the place where we say, I am going to do this, and we find that we're in the will of God, we find that things aren't that hard. But fear has a way of coming in and causing us to not step out. So we see the difficult in the problem instead of stepping in to what God has for us. And most people don't have people to believe in them. This is where we come into play. This is where, as a leader, you got to be someone that encourages people. One of the areas that God has really stirred me up in is, as I think of some of you, and some of you have gotten it, I just text you. Or I'll see you. If God puts you on my heart at church, I'll say something. Hey, you know what? I've noticed you've been doing good, man. Good job. Right? Because I'm understanding that it's God that wants to speak through me. And as a leader, you got to be sensitive. Because sometimes when God's put people in your heart, and if you respond, you may not know that you're probably meeting a need in that person. So it's important to understand that. Number two, another fact that about people, most people don't have someone who have faith in them. And in the chapter, it ends up talking about how in our society, most people, they feel isolated and they're secluded. It said overnight, and listen to this, this was something that they said. They took a survey in prison. They said over 90% of prison inmates were told by parents while growing up they're going to be put in jail. Instead of teaching their children to believe in themselves, some parents are tearing them down. For many people, even those who are closest to them don't believe in them. They have no one on their side. No wonder even a little thing like a flower can make a difference in how a person approaches their day. That's a heavy statistic, right? Number three, most people can tell when someone has faith in them. And this is important to know because we can't just give, hollow encouragement. Right? Just trying to sound like a good leader, but we don't mean it. Yeah. Right? And that was a conviction to me because it's true. It's like, man, sometimes somebody can get on your nerves, but because we haven't checked our emotion and we're called to work with them, right? We're not looking at their good and we're actually focusing on their bad. And if that's in between us and the person that we're working with, we're not going to be effective. We're not going to go and reach the need that lives within inside of them. You are called to be a godly leader, which is going to take being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, right? Understanding the needs that need to be met within them. And you got to understand that most people, that they can sense if you really believe in them or not. Number four, most people will do anything to live up to your faith in them. That's some heavy stuff. Most people will do anything to live up to your faith in them. Most people will rise to the occasion if you challenge them, encourage them along the way, and truly believe that they can be successful. The book says those who believe in our ability to do more than stimulate us, they create for us an atmosphere in which we can become, which it can become easier to succeed. And we got to create an atmosphere in our church where people can be successful. And you know what that means? We got to create an atmosphere where it's okay to fail. Right? Because in that, we got to praise people when they try. And if people know that it's safe to try and fail, they're going to be willing to step up to the plate and take on challenges they've never thought they would be able to do. So those are some things. Those are some facts about faith that were in your book. And when you look at how to become a believer in people, and I love this, and I'm going to give you a few more. So now what I'm going to give you is how to become a believer in people. And this was in your book. So I'm going to encourage you to go back and read your book, because a lot of what I'm teaching you is simply out of your book. But I love this, how to become a believer in people. Number one, believe in them before they succeed. Believe in them before they succeed. It's much tougher to believe in people before they have proved themselves. But that is the key to motivating people to reach their full potential. When you believe in them, even when it's tough or they're up against the wall. If you were the one that believed in them and stood by them, chances are that eventually they're going to succeed. Number two, when working with people, emphasize their strength. You got to encourage people based on their strengths. That's the starting point, right? So that's why in our church, we're very big on helping people find their gifts and then encouraging them to use their gifts. Why? Because we're setting them up for success. And when they step out and they do what they're good at, eventually that's going to create confidence and it's going to allow them to step out by faith and do other things. Why? Because they started with what they were good at. But as a leader, a good leader can help not only identify somebody's gift, but you got to learn to resource your people, right? What are we doing here? We're resourcing you, right? What we're simply doing, we're telling you what books to read. We're keeping you accountable. We're having classes like this. What that's called, it's called resourcing, right? We may not have all the answers, and we're in the building stages of our church, and as we create ministries, we might challenge you to do a ministry because you might have a gift that coincides with that ministry, but at some point, we're going to be like, we're going to pray for you, and by faith, we're going to give you a book and say, go learn all you can. Come on, somebody. Huh? And I remember when I first went to the Seattle church, Pastor John, I remember he asked me, he's like, what do you know about cell groups? I can learn anything you want me to. That was my answer. I didn't know a thing about a cell group. I had never ran a group. But what did I do? I bought every book possible. And I just became a student of cell groups. What did I do? I called the mother church. I called San Diego. I called other men that were successful. And I did everything in my power to learn about cell groups. Prior to that, he had asked me, well, hey, I would love for you to get involved in ushering. Now, I had done ushering before, but this time he asked me to oversee it. What did I do? I bought a number of books again. That's the way I learned. So what did I do? I bought a book called The Five Star Church. I called a book called Ushering 101. I bought another book called Greeting 101. I bought another book, Ushers and Greeters in the Local Church. I did everything in my power. And now I understand a little bit about that ministry. So what did I do? When Paul was stepping up, I said, here, brother, read this book. And then as he read it, we would have conversations. What did you get out of that, right? And we're still growing. We're still learning. But that's resourcing people. When you challenge them, you got to set them up for success. We cannot just tell them, go do it, and expect them to do it. Part of helping them feel secure is giving them the resources necessary to be successful. The next one is, number three. List their past successes. When you're working with people, I think it's very important to encourage them on their past successes. The enemy does a good job with getting us to, allowing us to forget the victories in our life. Right? And then later, even in the book, what does he say? He talks about how when David went out and fought the giant, what did he do? He said he spoke on his past successes. He said, I come against you, but I have struck the lion down. I fought a bear, and today I'm going to strike you down. And when he grabbed one rock, he threw it, right? You all know the story. The Goliath fell. Then when he cut off his head and he held it up, all of the countrymen, grew faith. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and this is just a little sidebar, and we were talking about how King Saul had the army, and for 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy, Goliath, taunted the Israelites. Nobody could kill the giant. Why? Because the leader, Saul, was not a giant killer. Saul was unwilling to fight the giant. So if the leader was unwilling to do the task, why would his men be willing to fight? Fast forward. The men that David rose up, right? The Bible tells us that they were giant killers, that the giants in the land fell to the hands of David and his servants. Why? Because David was a giant killer. Like produces like. And when you display great strength, the people under you will eventually follow in your footsteps. This is why you got to be willing to step out by faith, even when nobody believes, even when other people think it's crazy. If God spoke to you, it is your job to follow God's voice. And if God comes through, you build instant credibility. But you got to understand your past experiences. I'm not saying to live off of them, though. Let me make that clear. There are some people, they have no new victories, and all they talked about is the past. This is a new day. This is a new age. And yesterday's victories are not necessarily good enough for tomorrow's battles. But understand their place. Amen? The next one is, I think this is number 4. In order to show faith in people, you got to instill confidence in them. Instill confidence in them when they fail. Keep showing your confidence in people even when they perform poorly. And this is what we got to, when we're working with people, we got to be their greatest cheerleader. We got to cheer them on, right? Even when they fail, right? It goes back to creating a safe environment. A safe environment to move forward. Number 5. When working with someone, create an atmosphere where you both can experience wins together. Experience some wins together. In other words, when you're working with someone, don't just throw them out the deep end and say, I'm going to have you do this today and I'm going to see how you do. No. You do it with them. Let them experience success with you. And then as they experience what it means to have success in ministry, eventually they're going to be willing to step out because they know what it feels like to be on the winning team. Number 6, visualize their future success. Visualize their future success. And I'm going to read this to you. I thought this was very heavy. We heard about an experiment performed with laboratory rats to measure their motivation to live under different circumstances. Scientists dropped the rat into the jar of water that had been placed in total darkness. And they timed how long the animal would continue swimming before it gave up and allowed itself to drown. They found that the rat usually lasted little more than 3 minutes. Then they dropped another rat into the same kind of a jar, but instead of placing it in total darkness, they allowed a ray of light to shine in it. Under those circumstances, the rat kept swimming for 36 hours. That's more than 700 times longer than the one in the dark, because the rat could see, it continued to have hope. If that is true of laboratory animals, think of how strong the effect of visualization can be on people. That's heavy. That's faith. Go ahead.
I like that too, because without faith, it's just like all of us down or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe some ideas I had or whatever, even though maybe I attended.
Absolutely. And going back to the first point, facts about faith, most people don't believe in themselves. So when you encourage them, that's a ray of light. When people are in their situation and it's hopeless, right, and we give them hope, that's the ray of light. Without hope, they last 3 minutes. But when you give a piece of encouragement, you give a scripture. This is why some of you who have the gift of encouragement, when God speaks to you and gives you words, you got to start operating that in the church. You got to go up to people. Hey, God just gave me a scripture. We had people text us this week, and they gave us a scripture. That encouraged our spirit. It reminded us why we do what we do. You got to have that in you. If God speaks to you, don't worry about what they're going to think about you. You step out in faith. That could be the ray of light that keeps them swimming when they feel like giving up. Yeah, go ahead. That's good stuff. And lastly, in order to believe in people, as a leader or influencer, you have to expect a new level of living. Expect a new level of living. In other words, you got to expect greatness, right? You really got to believe and expect that they can come through. As an influencer, you have the goal of helping others see beyond today and their current circumstances and dream big dreams. When you put your faith in people, you help them to expand their horizons and motivate them to move to a whole new level of living. That's your job as an influencer, as a leader, right? This is where it's not about us, it's about others. It's about helping them see themselves greater, not having them see us as greater. Amen? And I'll write these up. I'll write these up on there. And then if not, they're in your book. But did that help anybody? Absolutely. And the goal is you just do what's been done to you. And like I said, I threw it out last class. Some of you are going to be teaching this class. Right? We're doing it the first time around, but right after this, we're going to do another class. And then you'll go to the next phase. We'll probably be developing the leaders around you. And then those that haven't taken the class, some of you can partner and teach this class according to your strength. But it's about living, right? It's about gaining understanding, it's about learning, and it's about applying, right? Because it's more than just reading, but understanding that leadership is a process. Leadership takes action. Leadership will cause you to go through trial and error, right? It's about relationship building. This is why having faith in people, it's about building true, meaningful relationships. If we are unable to build relationships, we're not going to be that effective with leaders, right? We're not going to be effective as leaders. But we have to make sure that we value people, that we see the good in them, and that we're willing to go outside of our comfort to meet a need. And that's the beginning stages of influencing people. Moving along. Yeah, go for it. Anybody else have something or aha moments? Yes. Amen. Moving along. Now, this chapter, really, man, I was just having aha moment after aha moment when it comes to, the next topic that we're going to be talking about is listening to people. So number four, it says, an influencer listens to people. Someone say listen.
Listen.
The first duty of love is to listen. A wise old owl sat in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we be like the wise bird? Under the section where it says climbing the ladder to be a better listener, it gives an acronym of LADDER. And let's go through that. L stands for a look at the speaker. Meanings are not in words, but in people. So in order to become a better listener, you know, we're living in a day and age where we're really distracted. We're really distracted, right? Phones distract us. Social media distracts us. We're constantly on a timetable, but when working with people, listening to them will add value. Listening to them will build great relationships. If we want to break relationships, don't listen. If you want to show a lack of respect, we don't want to listen. But listening is very, very, very powerful. So to be a better listener, we have to make sure that we look at people, right? Look at them. A stands for ask questions. This is the quickest way to become a good listener. And there's something called active listening, where we actually process what people are saying, right? So we're able to paraphrase what they say. See, active listening is this. This is what I hear you saying. Is that right? Yes, that's what I meant. Or this is what I'm hearing. Is that correct? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Then you're really practicing communication and you're really deepening what you hear, right? So we have to make sure that we're people that we learn to ask questions in conversation. Most people, when they have a conversation with someone, they're thinking on what they want to say next, right? Most people, that's how they are. They're constantly thinking of the next thing. We got to be people that slow down, that ask questions and deepen our relationship. I remember there was a guy I used to walk by, a good friend of mine. I'd say, hey, Alan, how you doing? He'd go, you have 5 minutes? And I was like, why do you say that? He's like, I love watching people's faces because I can tell if they really wanted to know how I was doing or not. It's heavy, huh? Yes, sir. D stands for don't interrupt. It's just as rude to step on people's ideas as it is to step on their toes. And these are things that, again, to become a better listener. The next D is stands for don't change the subject. Listening is wanting to hear people out. That's heavy, huh? In the book, it talks about how you have to want to listen to what people are saying, right? You want to listen to, you actually want to listen to what they're wanting, what they're saying. E stands for emotion. Check your emotions. Leaders must keep current of the undercurrents. Emotions create a storm, and others will back away. And let me explain what that means. This is heavy. I want to read this to you. This is in the book. So E stands for emotions. Check your emotions when you're having conversations with people. Leaders must keep current of the undercurrents. Emotions create a storm, and others will back away. Let me explain. Mark Twain once said, a cat who sits on a hot stove will never sit on a hot stove again. He'll never sit on a cold stove either. From then on, the cat just won't like stoves. If you've never worked through strong past emotional experiences, you may be filtering what others say through those experiences. If you're preoccupied with certain topics, if a particular subject makes you defensive, or if you frequently project your point of view onto others, you may need to work through your issues before you can become an effective listener. That's some heavy stuff. So in our conversations, we just have to make sure that we understand. And this is where it goes back to active listening, right? Where you gotta ask, is this is what I'm hearing? No, that's not what I'm hearing. What you're hearing and what I'm saying are two different things, right? As a married couple, you gotta learn to do that. Me and my wife do that all the time. And there's times where maybe I'm talking a little forceful. She's like, wait a minute. You're talking a little crazy. Is that what you're trying to do? And I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just kind of going right now. She's like, okay, I was just checking. And she's not checking me, but she's kind of checking my emotions. Or she's bringing awareness to how aggressive I'm talking as a husband because I'm preoccupied with other things, right? And then there's times where I have to come back and I say, whoa, I just walked in the door. Husbands, come on, somebody, right? However, active listening, learning to put those emotions under control and then talking those things out. R stands for responsive listening. When people feel that their leader no longer listens or responds, they will go somewhere else. Responsive. R stands for responsive listening. When people feel that their leader no longer listens or responds, they will go somewhere else. And I want to give you the value of listening. Number one, listening shows respect. Listening shows respect. Number two, listening builds relationships. Builds relationships. Listen to what it says in the book. Dale Carnegie, an author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, advised, you can make more friends in 2 weeks by becoming a good listener than you can in 2 years trying to get other people interested in you. That's heavy stuff. Just learning to listen to people. Later on in the book, it says he recognized that people who are self-focused and who talk about themselves and their concerns all the time rarely develop strong relationships with others. No one wants to be around people that all they do is talk about themselves. So as a leader, it goes back to not stirring up a conversation with how long you've been saved and how you preach great messages and how God used you to slay people. Come on, somebody, right? And not anybody, people don't do that here, But you'd be surprised what happens after we get a few victories under our belt. We've been serving God for a little bit, right? But we've all come across, I'll just say it bluntly, don't be that guy. Don't be that girl, right? Make sure that you know who you are and value people more than you value yourself. Number three, listening increases knowledge. Good listener is not only popular everywhere, but after a while he knows something. And the book even says, beware of putting yourself into a position where you think you know all answers. Only if you develop good listening skills early and then continue to use them will you be able to gather the information you need to succeed. And I love the example that they gave, that even when you first start out, if you develop this skill now, when you become a CEO or when you become a leader, you value people's thoughts, and that creates gives you creativity, right? You're able to put their plans into play. You're able to learn about people, right? One of the things that I've learned in selling, many of you guys know that I was in sales. One of the things, the main skills that they teach us, listen to their needs. Don't go into a meeting and start telling them about your product, right? Don't tell them about your product. They teach us to ask questions. They teach us to deepen our awareness of what they're going through. And once we find out the need, we can now match the product to a need. But an arrogant salesperson is going to go in there and try to tell them why they need the product, versus figuring out a need and why they truly need it and where they would benefit, right? They say things like features tell, benefit sell. When you tell them the benefit of how it will help them, right, it will cause them to want to buy from you. But if you don't know the benefit, that means we probably didn't listen to the things that they told us mattered to them, right? So those are things that they teach in sales. Number four, listening generates ideas. Listening generates ideas. Fresh, innovative ideas help us to find new ways to solve old problems. And I love how it talks about 3M. It says, when we think about innovative companies that never seem to run out of ideas, 3M immediately comes into mind. That company seems to develop new products faster than just about any other manufacturer. The organization has a reputation for being open to employees' ideas and for listening to customers. In fact, a representative of M3 once said, the number one resource for product ideas was customer complaints. The book later on tells us how Chili's, one of the greatest and fastest growing food chains, they said that almost 80% of the menu that you order from came from customer recommendations. These people got it down. They listened to what the people wanted, and they gave them what they wanted. So number five, listening builds loyalty. Listening builds loyalty. Are you getting something? I know it's kind of tough having a class on a Friday night. The four H questions to become better listeners. When working with people, keep these four H's in mind. You got to find out, number one, what is their heart? Number one, what is their heart? And we can only do that by listening. Someone tell me why that's important. You already spoke. Let me get somebody else. I have Brother Dan. Brother Dan, talk to me.
Why should you find out why their heart?
Yeah, why is that so important?
To find out what they're passionate about, so they'll be better at that than something they're not passionate about.
Absolutely. Somebody else. This is Don. Brother Chris.
It shows that you care.
Shows that you care. Yeah. Right? Find what's in people's hearts, sister. Go ahead. Sister Linda. Yes, absolutely. Finding people's heart is very important, right? It goes back to that saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And sometimes that's just simply finding out their heart. You know what's a great way to find people's heart? That I think we got to grow in our church. Ready? This is like profound. Take them out to eat. Genuine conversations happen when you break bread with people. Sounds funny, but that was one of the things that grew the church. But I think that's an area where this is why it's important. Even when we get to know people, it's not good enough just to sometimes say, "Hey, let me get your phone number," right? And if we do get their phone number during the week, "Hey, let's go out for a cup of coffee. Hey, let's go out to eat," right? Some of you, many of you guys know I won your heart by how?
Feeding you.
Come on, somebody. Right? How do you win a man? Feed him. But I'm being honest. You got to find people's heart. By any means necessary, you got to get to know them before you ask them to do something. Don't be that guy, right, that just calls because you need something. You got to make sure you have people's heart. When you have their heart, you can not only meet a need, but you can challenge them to do great things, and they're going to follow you because they know you have the best interest in mind. Number two, what is their hope? What is their hope? When you find out what it is that they're hoping for, you can actually encourage them and help them get there. But if you don't know what they're going through, it's kind of hard to work with people and meet their needs. Number three, what is their hurt? What is their hurt? And this can only be found out when you deepen your relationship with people, when they now begin to trust you, right? Like Dale Carnegie said, right? Listen to people, and you will not only win their heart, but you'll hear behind everything that they say. You'll be able to identify, right, what they actually go through. But we got to know why people hurt. Number four, how can I help? This is where we go full circle in meeting a need. And then I want to give you the common barriers to listening. So these you just have to write down. They're not in there. They are found in your book. But I think they're important. and I was really, you know, and as we talk about these, just kind of think and do a self-evaluation, right? But number one, common barriers to growth, overvaluing talking. Overvalue talking. And I'll explain what I mean. Well, let me read what the book says. Good communicators know to monitor their talking to listening ratio. President Abraham Lincoln, considered one of the most effective leaders and communicators in our nation's history, said, "When I'm getting ready to reason with someone, I spend one-third of my time thinking about myself and what I am going to say, and two-thirds thinking about him and what he's going to say. That's a good ratio to mountain listening twice as much as you speak." In other words, listen, right? And he was talking about when he's going to reason with somebody, you can't reason with someone by trying to get your point across. You're not going to win, right? And for me, I literally did this, right? I drew the pie chart, right? So if there's three. So in other words, what he's saying, he spends two-thirds thinking and listening, and he only spends one-third talking, right? When we're working with people and going back to reasoning with people, you can't fight or reason with them by trying to get a point across. You gotta listen more than you talk. Because when you listen, it goes back to meeting their need. It goes back to finding their heart, finding their hope, finding their hurt. And when you get that information, now you can help. But you cannot help if you have not listened. So you can't overvalue talking. But that's one of the barriers to listening. Second one, lack of focus. Lack of focus. We need to learn to direct our energy and our attention to people. And for some, that means you got to concentrate. Don't go elsewhere in our conversations, right? We cannot be people that are somewhere else, wishing we were someone else when someone's talking, right? We got to listen to them. Number three, another barrier to growth, mental fatigue. Mental fatigue. If you're tired or facing difficult circumstances, remember that to remain an effective listener, you have to dig up more energy, concentrate, and stay focused. For us, how can we gain energy, or how can we, what's a good way for us when working with people to make sure we don't get mentally fatigued? Prayer in your word. Come on, somebody. Right? Brother. Stay hydrated. Drink a lot of water. It's true. Right? Right? We have to be people that are constantly in prayer. This is why it's so important that you come to church prayed up. This is why it's so important before you get here, or even when you get here, you take some time to pray. Right? The last thing you want to do is be a leader that's frustrated doing your ministry. Everybody in the church can see you're frustrated. That's when ministry now becomes a task and it's no longer a joy. We got to make sure, right? Yes. Yes. I'll give you a physical one too. Get some sleep. get rest. You gotta get rest. As leaders, you gotta get rest. All that does play a role, right? Like when I'm tired, I'm not, right? My wife holds me accountable. Babe, you gotta, I'm a night owl. Babe, you gotta get some rest. You gotta go to sleep. And listen, wives, hold your husbands accountable. And vice versa. Husband, hold your wives accountable. Because when we're grouchy because we ain't slept, that's on us. That's gonna come out in your leadership, right? But we can't be people that are mentally fatigued when we're called to work with people. Right? So number four, barriers to listening. Stereotyping. Stereotyping others can be a huge barrier to listening, and it tends to make us hear what we expect rather than what another person actually says. Number five, barriers to listening. Carrying personal emotional baggage. And I already read the about the cat who sat on the stove. That cat will never sit on a cold stove either. They're going to hate stoves. And that simply goes back to the point, if you're never worked through strong past emotional experiences, you may be filtering what others say through those experiences. So we got to make sure that we filter things through and we work on us before we work with people. And then don't let that hold you back either. All we're saying is make sure that you're aware of those things, right? Number six, barrier to growth. Being preoccupied with self. And then this is how we're going to end the class. In your worksheets, it says, are you a good listener? Take this quiz to find out. It says, good listening skills can make you a more productive worker. Take this quiz to see whether your skills need some honing. Give yourself 4 points if the answer to the following question is always, 3 points if it's usually, 2 for rarely, and 1 for never. So what I want you to do right now is I want you to go ahead and go through those questions. Again, give yourself 4 points if it's always, 3 points if it's for usually, 2 points for rarely, and 1 for never. So go ahead and take some time and take this quiz. Done, go ahead and add them up. So if you got 26 and over, you're an excellent listener. If you score 22 to 25, you're better than average. 18 to 21, room for improvement. If you got 17 or lower, it says get out there and practice your listening right away. Right? All right. And then it says, none of us is as smart as all of us. And Ken Blanchard said, he said this in thinking for a change. So again, I want to encourage you and inspire you. Listen, have faith in people. Learn to have faith in people. And I love that quote. I'm not going to repeat it verbatim, but I love it how you what you think of someone secretly, right? You cannot act like it's you're not you won't be effective if that's how you feel secretly, right? And then you try to act different when it's public. So remember, you gotta believe in people, and then work on listening, right? You gotta find their heart, find their hope, right? And remind you this: win people's hearts before you ask for their hand. Learn that. Make sure you learn their heart before you ask for their hand, right? Sometimes people have it backwards where they want help first. Can you do this in the ministry? We ain't even called them to see how they're doing. Don't be that guy, okay? Did you guys get something? All right, are you encouraged? You're learning? Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and close this out. Yes, sister? Yes, so you do have to read the next two chapters. Yes, and I was trying to be sensitive to time. Yes. So. Yes, so you're going to read Understands People and Enlarges People, and then we won't have it next week because next week we're going to have Pastor Mondo. So he's going to be teaching here. But so come. I'm going to encourage you to please exercise your influence, okay? I'm going to ask you to invite somebody for Wednesday, Sunday and Sunday night, okay? He's a powerful speaker. I want to pray that God really moves and that he meets needs. So get out there, practice your influence, and then let's do this together, amen? All right, let's pray.